Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello over there, Germs. John, the pot stirrer.
Hello over there.
We're gonna
how are things way over there?
Oh, they are fantastic. You know, you didn't hear my last thing. I called you the pot stirrer, so, you know, whatever.
I'm a stirrer of pots.
Chef Germs, I think, is what we call that. Stirring things up in the kitchen. Ooh, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. So just, you know, for everybody, we want to first of all start this show off. We've got some new followers, and I'm just going to say we've got new listeners. So we welcome the new listeners. But, you know, if you're new listeners, then you know where I'm going with this. If you're not and you still don't know, well, welcome to the show of the pot stirrers and the Trey Birkinators. So, you know, yeah, I just made that word up, the Trey Birkinators. Come on, tell me that's good.
And we just lost all of our new listeners.
Okay, we can start there. You know, we have defended Trey Burke a lot on this show. And I just send out this tweet, and for some reason, that day he decides to search his name and find it and respond. And I don't know. It's kind of funny that wound up making USA Today.
Right?
It didn't just make USA Today. I also saw it on Bleacher Report.
And KSL.com and Deseret News. And, well, it just blew up. And shout out to our good friend, and we've had him on as guest, Jody Genesee, who kind of brought it to the forefront, because I don't know how many of us know. And John, you were out of town. Of course you were out of town when the tweet came through from Trey Burke. So it was Jody Genesee who brought the attention to it. And man, Trey Burke getting salty. And like you said, John, we've been defending him. We've been Trey Burke apologists on this show. Trey, I hope you are listening to this show.
He's not listening, Alan.
I just hope he does listen. There's just no to hear way. Our response, because Trey, we did love you. We were apologists. We did defend you. Dude, you just totally, wow. So let's address what happened. I mean, he responded to you. He said, no one wants to play in Utah. We might as well address that first. Is that true? Does no one really want to play in the Utah Jazz organization in Utah?
No, considering we just signed two more guys today.
Right.
I think where this all really comes down to is just the damage to the psyche it does to have your best player leave. And, you know, with G leaving, you know, looking back, all the signs were there. I mean, he's always been an East guy, grew up in Indiana, just, you know, when the time he signed his restricted contract, it was in Charlotte. He just, looking back, you just kind of go, this is a guy who always eventually wanted to just wind up East. And this is the first time that the Jazz have had their best player that they really want to keep go ahead and leave. And, you know, it does damage. It's we centered the team around him and he's gone. And so for him to come in and just kind of say, hey, no one wants to play there, it's like, well, Jazz gave you every opportunity. And all I said was you just weren't talented enough. And I stand by that, honestly. He might be out of the league. Who knows? He's still a free agent.
Yeah, you know, he could end up in the EuroLeague.
Used two first rounders on him, and we wound up getting a distant second for him in return. So I think that just says it all.
Yeah, I agree. And for a moment there, you're right. In the state of mind that Jazz fans are in, you know, Hayward, you farmed him, you grew him, you helped him to become the player he has, and he turns around and walks. Right away, immediately, it's like, oh, people just don't want to play in Utah. Can't get anybody here. Nobody's going to sign here. Let's not, you know, get too far removed from somebody who is a superstar, an all-star. Not even a month ago, I think, tweeted out that, as part of a Q&A, that, you know what, if he didn't stay in Portland, the Utah Jazz would be one of his destinations, and that is Damian Lillard. So before we all lose our mind over something that Trey Burke said, a subtle reminder, yes, Trey Burke is not in the league right now. He could very well not be in the league this next year, And we've been told by other players they would come here. So let's just, it's okay. It's all right. I'm talking myself down from the ledge, because believe me, I was there for a moment too.
Well, I mean, we all need to process it in our own way, but I think as time goes on, it's just like, eh, whatever. But yeah, it was very, this is our first episode since the indecision. And yeah, that was a rough 4th of July. He kind of killed my holiday.
You think?
Well, let's be honest. In defense of Trey, it was an unnecessary shot that we took at him. That our unpaid intern took it in.
Yes, let's put the blame on the unpaid intern.
I didn't tweet it out. I just responded. But, you know, it's the fact that he searched his name. We didn't tag him in it. And then for him to come at Utah, I get he's still upset about being traded, I'm sure.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure he's not happy with the situation. And if he could do it all over again, he probably would, you know, change the interaction with us on Twitter. Because honestly, my mentions went nuts for a good 48 hours after the fact.
Well, yeah, because you turned around and said something back to him, quote tweeted him, and he responded to you with, what was it?
He said it was a fact.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I told him that it was not a fact, it was an opinion, and I criticized his defense, and honestly, at the moment, I thought, ha, zing, gotcha.
Bazinga!
And then I stepped back from it, and the past few days I've been like, was it really necessary for me to go and essentially kick Trey when he's down?
Right.
Because it really wasn't, you know? He said something because he's got some animosity towards the Jazz and towards Utah, and, you know, honestly, if we went back to that draft, when he was drafted, I was ecstatic.
We all were.
You know,
we all were.
I was talking about buying a Trey Burke jersey, and he was my cover photo on my social media accounts. And, you know, I was so stoked about them making the move. And if I could go back and do it over again, yeah, I wouldn't have the Jazz draft him. You know, I think Giannis was in that draft, if I remember right. So
let's be fair, though. There wasn't much in that draft. So,
but here's the thing.
Not like we did really that horrible either.
Trey wouldn't do it either. You know, and I don't fault him for that, because he's not in a good situation now. And maybe if he had been drafted by another team, things might have played out a little bit differently. I don't know. But, you know, I publicly apologize for going at Trey Burke in the moment of being upset about this whole Gordon Haywood crap. You know, it wasn't necessary, and what he said wasn't necessary, and really it's just both sides let it go.
And before we transition over to Hayward, I just want to say, yeah, Trey, we love you. We have stood by you. We have defended you. We think you're a great guy. You've had your moments. We all have. But that doesn't change the fact that we enjoyed you when you were here in Utah.
And we want him to succeed.
Yeah, we do want him to succeed. And also, I just want to give him a big thanks. We appreciate it because, like I said, we have new listeners. We have new followers. Thank you, Trey, for helping us boost us just a little bit too, because that's much appreciated. That was good. Let's transition though. John, you started covering or jumping in on the indecision of Gordon Hayward and the fact that it ruined our 4th of July. We probably don't need to harp on it more than it has been, because it's been 6 days, 7 days, and I think we're all ready to 8 days, and we're ready to just move past it. But let's touch on it real quickly.
Yeah. When you think of guys that left, guys that we let walk, even Boozer, who had really burned his relationship with a lot of people here, he still made sure that when he went to Chicago, the Jazz were able to get a trade exception out of it. And, you know, Hayward could have done that, but he decided not to. And one thing I also wanted to mention, we haven't been able to talk about, when Spence Checkets interviewed Mark Bartlestein on 1280, it was just like the interview of the year. He was going at him hard, and all Bartlestein could do is just, you know, lie. And the whole time I'm listening, trying not to get mad at Bartlestein, because I recognize that he's just doing what his client wants him to do. And I thought Spence hit him with everything. I thought he pulled no punches. I thought it was great. Bartlestein responded the only way he really could. They're still sticking by this lie that Gordon hadn't made up his mind in those 6 hours. But if you read what his father said in the Tribune, if you listen to what Chris Haynes of ESPN said, it's very clear that his mind was made up, and it was probably made up before that day. Spence's sorts puts it right around the time the Jazz were eliminated from the playoffs. So no one knows really when the decision was made. It's just clear that he's just not being honest about it. And okay, fine, whatever. It's over. We've gone through it, and now we can go ahead and transition to the future. And that would bring us to Summer League.
Yeah. And the additional thoughts I'd give on Hayward is, I heard on the radio, it was either yesterday or today, Spence talked to Chris Mannix. They talked about the potential for a sign and trade, at least for either a trade exception or even for Jay Crowder coming back. Chris Mannix suggested that he heard from sources within the Boston organization, in all the way up to Danny Ainge, that they were willing to make a move with the Jazz, but they wanted something in the return, and the Jazz were not willing to part with anything additional in return. So that would suggest to me that could have been a part of the problem, why the sign and trade never happened, because neither partner could really come to any equal agreement on what the worth was on both sides. So I don't know how true that is. I don't know whether that's why it happened, but you're right. It's in the past. Let's move forward. We need to get new jerseys or outfits for the Fisher Lied girls, because now it's going to be Hayward Lied girls. You know, for those who didn't know, Bartlestein was also, this was brought to my attention by one of our listeners, Tyler Kinney, that Bartlestein was also the, agent of Derek Fisher in 2007, when he walked away from the contract with the Jazz organization mutually and turned around and signed with the Lakers not long after that. So just so everybody knows, Bartlestein is really well loved here in Utah, right? So let's move on though and get the Fisher Lied girls some new gear. I don't know.
Sounds great.
But let's transition to Summer League, because I'm excited. And if you're a Jazz fan, you should be excited. It's a lot easier, takes the pain away from the Hayward, if you can look forward to number 45, right? Spida Mitchell, Donovan, had a great Summer League. Is there? Let's talk about Summer League for a moment, it's particularly Donovan Mitchell. The sky's the limit for this kid, isn't it?
Yeah, he's exceeded my expectations, and I was really excited when we got him, when we traded up for him, and he's like blowing past that. Now, it might be easy to get excited about Summer League, but I don't, you know, right now he looks like a shoo-in to make the rookie team during the All-Star break. You know, 37.8 steal game. He's going to be great on defense. His shooting is there. I mean, he was spotty in college. I think he's going to go through some rookie wall issues with that, but I just think he's going to be great. I'm excited.
He was even spotty and inconsistent in Summer League though, John. Yeah. I mean, he really was. Even as in his 37.9, he was only 3 of 11 from downtown. That's not good numbers by any stretch of the imagination, but he had a good night. And for me, observation-wise, there were a lot of little things that he did that really excite me for him as a player. The Jazz mantra is defense. Can we all agree with that? Defense is their number one identity and priority, and this kid fits that mold. He does all the little things, the hustle plays on defense that you can't teach players. They happen. And with him, he just does it.
Yeah, and the thing with him and Dante, watching them together in Summer League.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting. That's something else I'm looking forward to, is seeing that. And so while the Jazz are probably going to be pushing to be the number one defense in the NBA, who knows how good their offense will be. But one thing that excited me watching those two together, the great thing about perimeter defense and getting steals is it leads to fast breaks. And we are not going to be the 30th pace team this coming year. There's a lot more,
right?
There's a lot of different tools we have. So I expect to see a lot more transition buckets coming up, and they're going to have to, because they don't have a lot of natural offensive players on the team.
Well, and you mentioned Donovan and Exum. I want to touch just briefly further on that. It was obvious, and you can look from Salt Lake Summer League to Vegas Summer League, the difference in the team's makeup without Dante out there. And you could see the floor was a different, it was a different scenario with without Dante as well. Dante and Donovan have a special chemistry that's blossoming, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, it looked really good even from game one in Salt Lake City. And then you go down to Vegas and it's now Donovan's team. I mean, Donovan clearly was in charge of the team in Vegas and he handled it well. But you can clearly see that when the two of them are on the court together, there is some serious chemistry between the two of them. And I'm like you, I'm excited for what that means for the season, whether you see them on the floor in the starting lineup or you see them on the floor in the bench or during spurts during the game, you're going to see them at stretches. And what they can do both on defense and on offense is crazy good and enough to be ecstatic about.
Yep.
Any other names? I mean, Devin, you had somebody speak pretty loud to you in Summer League you liked a lot. Griffin?
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Mitchell and I really like what I saw out of Eric Griffin. I mean, the guy is a hustle player. He had a little bit of an outside shot at times. He had some fantastic dunks. I mean, I was asking Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Trib. I said, what are your thoughts? And he said, well, he should have earned himself an invite to training camp. You know, beyond that, I don't know. We'll have to see where the Jazz roster stands, you know, between the guys they've acquired recently and the many draft picks that we had this year. But I really liked watching him, especially in person. I mean, he had a few dunks there that just set the Huntsman Center on fire.
And he's a good passer, and he's a pretty decent shooter from downtown at times, it seemed.
Yeah, for his size.
Yeah.
For his size, definitely. So,
And I think, John, you tweeted out earlier on the Jedi and Germs account that the roster currently stands at 15, so I don't know how many of these guys, Griffin included, would be able to make the roster much past fall camp.
Well, if they waive Boris Dia, and I'm inclined to think that they will, then they'll be at 14, and I think then they'll probably stay there until fall camp and just give some guys an opportunity to get that 15th spot, Griffin being one of them. They know that whoever they put in Dia's spot, they're going to be able to, you know, pay minimum or just above minimum for whoever that winds up being. And I do think they would want another big guy, unless a small forward just jumps out at them. I think they would want another big guy. And Griffin earned his spot in fall. He will be there in fall. And now it's just a matter of is the spot going to open for him, and is he going to be able to outplay everybody in, you know, preseason to get that final spot.
Now, John, let me ask you, I could be mistaken here, but wasn't there a rule update that went into effect this year that allowed teams to carry an additional player or two, I thought, until like a certain cutoff date, like the trade deadline in spring, where they could carry extra guys as long as they fit certain criteria? Does that sound familiar?
No.
See, that's what I wonder too, because I'm curious. I mean, the one name we haven't even mentioned, I mean, you mentioned Griffin, and that's a potential big, and we could use that. But another player that the Jazz drafted that isn't even listed among the 15 right now is Williams-Goss. And, you know, we got currently there are 5 wings and 3 point guards on contract. That's some pretty heavy depth at the wing, but you really have Exum who can play both wing and point. So you still have 2 true point guards. Williams-Goss might be able to fit that point guard. I mean, is there any reason to believe Williams-Goss doesn't make the team?
I don't think he'll make the team.
You don't?
Okay. I don't see why they would have him, because you have Rubio, Exum, Neto. Mitchell can play some point. There's just no room.
Okay. And that's why I ask. I mean, he was one of the guys, one of the Jazz's draft picks. Granted, he was drafted what number? What was he, late second round?
Yeah, he was.
So he's not guaranteed. He's in the 50s. Right. So he's not guaranteed a contract. He can end up signing with anybody, or he'll just stay on a summer league team, I'd assume.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the G League. I hate that they call it the G League now.
I know. So do I. I preferred the D League. I like the development idea better. I don't know what they decided on G League for.
Money.
Okay.
It's the Gatorade League. It's all money. That's all it is.
Well, I laughed.
By the way, I've been reading the collective bargaining agreement, and I'm not seeing anything about a spot for a 16th player.
Well, I think Devin's been looking that up too.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, seeing what I can find. So I'll continue looking. If I can find it, I will interrupt and let you know, or we'll bring it up at the end of the show.
And if it's the G League, I'm just going to call it the Glee Club from now on, right? Don't give me that look, Devin. Sorry, Angie Snark Tank the other day on Twitter mentioned something about G League and said something. It was a reference to Game of Thrones. And I turned around and I said, no, the first thought that came to mind was the Glee television series. And actually somebody else responded to me too. The same thought came to mind. I'm not thinking Game of Thrones. I'm thinking Glee Club, Glee League, you know, Glee something. Sorry, I couldn't. All right. This subject's turning dead even before it began. So let's move forward from Summer League. Let's look at the roster, because as of our podcast, as of tonight, when we're recording, Jazz have signed two, or are said to have signed two additional players. I don't know if that's official yet, is it?
Sure looks like it is to me. Both of them were 2 years deals. We got Thabo Sefolosha, small forward, much needed position, and Jonas Drebko, power forward from the Celtics. So that is why the Jazz roster is back up to being full. So with our turnover last, as there are no longer on the team, you have Hayward, George Hill, Sheldon Mack, Trey Lyles, Jeff Withey, and most likely Diop. And the ones coming in are Ricky Rubio, Thabo Sefolosha, Jonas Drebko, and then our rookies, Donovan Mitchell and Tony Bradley.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you right now, from a defensive standpoint, this excites me a lot. You talked about the Jazz pushing for the number one defense. I really think they could be the number one defense in the league, and it's going to win them games. You know, they've got to learn how to score, but defensively, if you're the number one team, that's going to win you some games, period.
Yeah, this already feels like the Jazz squad from 2 years ago when Exum first entered the starting lineup and the Jazz flipped into the number one defense in the NBA. It looks like they're already going to start off that way. And, you know, I'm excited to see what comes of it. There's still a lot of excitement, reason to be excited around this team. I still think they're going to be a playoff team. When I look at this roster,
yes,
it's still a deep team, and you know, it's not tooled exactly the way they might have hoped, but it's still going to be competitive. It's going to be a playoff team in the very tough West. You know, if they were in the East, they'd probably be fighting for home court advantage in the first round. But them's the breaks.
Yep.
But they'll still be a playoff team.
And I'm going to tell you, I know, Devin, you got something to interject here, and I want to hear it. One through 15 of the guys that look like are on the roster right now, there's only one defensive liability, and I still am convinced that we may get him to buy in this year, and we might see a rejuvenated Alec Burks, because other than that, 1 through 15, these guys are incredibly good at defense. You can't find too many holes or weaknesses on the defense here for the Jazz. So lots of good news coming and lots of good opportunity. Devin, you were going to pop in.
This Jazz squad is going to play the ugliest basketball, I think, in the NBA. I mean, if you don't like defense and you just want to see teams score a lot, I think you will absolutely hate watching the Jazz, because they're just going to make a mess.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah. I mean, if you can respect that, and I think Jazz fans will, and I think a lot of real NBA fans across the country will like that. But it's just going to be different from what you see, like, in Cleveland. you know, different from what I think like Boston's trying to do a little bit.
This will be, you know, everybody's talked about 2004 Detroit Pistons the last couple of years. Guys, this might be as close as we get to that. That Pistons team was ugly. They were defensive. And even that finals, Pistons versus the Spurs, or no, Pistons versus the Lakers, but then the next year, Pistons versus the Spurs, it was ugly basketball, wasn't it? I mean, you got ugly basketball, and that's just the way it was. But was it still enjoyable to watch? Yeah, I enjoyed it. I watched both those finals, loved every minute of them. So this is probably, you're going to see that. You're going to see some rugged, you know, in the trenches basketball from the Utah Jazz this year, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what's up, Dev?
I found it.
Did you?
I found it, John.
Okay.
The partnership between the NBA and the NBA Gatorade League will take a big step in its evolution this year with the introduction of two-way contracts. NBA rosters will grow from 15 spots to 17 thanks to the addition of a pair of two-way players that can spend up to 45 days on an NBA roster.
Oh.
So right there, I'm going to tell you, Williams-Goss and Griffin might be your two prime candidates for that.
Yep.
I watching Summer League, I don't know if anybody else really stood out to the two of you, but I would have to think those two might be the targets for those additional roster spots.
So if anyone is interested in this, I am going to tweet it out right now. It's actually a retweet coming from Spencer Wixom at Jazz Jargon. Link to dleaguedigest.com where he has some more information about that. So, okay. I knew I saw something.
Yep, I just retweeted it. Okay. Should we move on?
Let's move on.
All right, what's up next? That covers it for all of Jazz news. I think up next we have just other NBA news. Let's talk. What's our other NBA news?
Well, I've been seeing rumblings all day that that they're trying to work out a deal to send Melo to the Rockets. And it doesn't look like, as we record this, it doesn't look like they've been able to pull anything off. It's been said that it might be up to a 4-team trade to try to make it work. I think Melo would like to play for a winner. I thought that he would just want to like ride it out in New York now that Phil Jackson's gone. But even then, as soon as Phil Jackson leaves, what do the Knicks do? They sign Tim Hardaway Jr. to a 4-year, $71 million deal. Why? So I see that and Melo going, maybe I do want to go ahead and leave.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope he doesn't. I feel bad for him because he's been in that Knicks situation for a while now and it just hasn't been good. But I'd rather not see him join another powerhouse team. I might be able to get on board if he joined LeBron James. I don't know how much, and I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the Melo situation.
I think he should be traded, but not to Houston.
Where to?
Right here to the Utah Jazz.
Seriously?
Yes.
You would want Melo?
Yes.
Why?
I want
Carmelo's
Melo.
People of Utah.
I'll give you this. I have never been a fan of his game much in the NBA. I've had issues with him over the years. I did not mind him in the Olympics. I felt like he was the best player on the Olympic team.
Right.
But I don't know that his. No, dude. Why?
Okay, you've got solid defense all around, but you don't have
an
elite scorer. So you can cover Melo's lack of defense with everyone else on the court, and he's got Rudy behind him, and just let Melo do his thing some of the time.
But the problem with Melo doing his thing some of the time is that the rest of the team is just standing around watching, and that's not how Rudy and the rest of the Jazz work.
But Alan, you play basketball with me. That's how I work sometimes. Oh. And as long as you're winning games, you know what I'm saying?
The way you chuck the rock up, I don't know, dude.
Let's not talk about last time. John, am I wrong? What would you think of a Melo in Utah situation? I know it won't happen, but could I persuade you?
I mean, it would be amusing for a year, but I wouldn't want to give up assets to actually do it.
See, John used the word amusing. That's why I can't watch it. I don't want to watch Jazz basketball be amusing.
Okay. I think Melo has not been in a good situation.
I'm not disagreeing. His best situation was Denver.
And I think if you put him in a good situation, like with the Jazz, it could go very well. I don't know if it would be good for him in Houston. I don't know how many touches there are to go around.
Okay, we've spent more time on Melo than I'd like. Can we move on to a different NBA topic? Is there any other NBA news that we've missed? The David Griffin news seems to be up and down. Right?
Yeah.
Sounded like he was interested in a GM job, but then in New York, but it sounds like that fizzled out, I should say. Trying to think of any other moves or signings that I missed of note. I don't think I saw anything of note.
Nothing really of note. All the contracts are just kind of trickling in now. Guys getting signed here and there. CJ Miles did a sign and trade to the Raptors. Thought that was interesting. Raptors are now under the luxury tax, which is something they were really worried about. Good for them.
CJ Kilometers, actually.
What?
CJ Kilometers.
CJ Kilometers, that's right, because he's in Canada now.
I don't get it.
CJ Miles moved to Canada, so now he's CJ Kilometers.
Because metric versus standard?
Crickets.
Because Alan's one of those guys. He'll get it tomorrow.
No, I won't. I get it, and I don't see the point. All right, next.
You got it halfway in there, and then you just pretended you didn't get it. I see you.
Really? Is that what we're doing here?
You.
All right, moving on from NBA news and notes, because apparently I'm becoming the subject here, and that's not going to happen. Let's move on. Listener questions.
Here's one. I'm worried about backup center minutes. Should I be? A little bit, yeah. I mean, Tony Bradley looked pretty raw in summer league. I'm not expecting much out of him this year. And so it looks like backup center, you know, is probably going to be shared. You're probably going to have Favors, Jarebko, Ballenboy are all going to spend some minutes at the five spot covering for Rudy. This is still a roster that if Rudy goes down, we are screwed. So,
yeah,
there are some concerns there.
Okay. Staying with the Rudy Gobert and kind of notes, I did receive a message from someone asking, well, they shared Andy Larson's tweet. Rudy Gobert told us that he felt it was likely that Gordon Hayward was leaving after their meeting July 3rd. It was awkward. The question came to me, and he's asked me this on more than one occasion, mind you. He referenced Hoops Critic. We all know who that is. Our good friend Spencer Wixom knows who that is and is not very appreciative of him either. But how much credibility do we put in the notion that Gordon may have suggested a trade with the Jazz maybe a year or more ago? Is there any sort of credence to that? Hoops Critic's one of the ones that broke it last year, and a lot of people tore him down for it, and I think some people still want to stand by that. Is there any credence to the fact that Gordon may have been interested in that?
I saw a story that the front office asked him a year ago if he wanted to be traded, and he said no.
Okay.
I don't give credence to anything Hoops Critic says until someone else says it.
Ditto.
Well, let's be honest. Hayward has been described as non-confrontational by his agent. And I think with what we saw go down with the five-hour, let me finish up this nice little blog post for the Players Tribune. No, I, I, It's possible, yes, but I think it's very doubtful that he goes into the front office and says, I would like to be traded. That just seems completely opposite of what we've seen recently out of Gordon, and very different than
right
any vibe really that we've gotten from him the past few years.
And the one thing none of us have mentioned, I mentioned this to him in a message in a response. I said, not only do we not trust those sources, but I believe that the Jazz would have done something to accommodate that. I am a firm believer the Jazz would, if they honestly believed Hayward was not going to be here and really wanted a trade, I think they would have accommodated him rather than get nothing out of the deal. So no, I believe if there was any credence to that, we would have heard the Jazz talk about it. So, do you get any other questions? I have one other.
I'm trying to go through all my mentions because, you know.
Well, while you're looking,
my mentions blew up.
Yeah. While you're asking, one of our listeners, Downright Dave, asked two questions. One, our thoughts on Thefalosha. We've talked about that. We're excited about him. I think it's a good move for the great move for the Jazz. His other question is favorite pie. John, your favorite pie?
Oh, depends. Because sometimes I'm in the mood for a fruit pie, and then sometimes I'm in the mood for more of a chocolate pudding pie. And then if the mood's right, I like a pecan pie too.
Yeah, I mean, you said like a chocolate, so like a Mississippi mud pie is always good.
Okay, Devin, what's your favorite?
I don't know. That's good. Key lime is amazing. That might be my one, but I can't turn down a banana cream pie either.
Mine's easy. Pumpkin pie.
Year round, though?
Absolutely.
Year round?
Absolutely.
So, tomorrow, you'd go out and eat a pumpkin pie?
Yep.
John, is that acceptable? I don't think that's acceptable.
No.
I don't care if you think it's acceptable or not.
To each his own.
I don't care if you think it's acceptable or not. It's my favorite pie. You
know
get
what?
Me
you can eat pumpkin pie in July. You can wear white after Labor Day. You do you.
Hey, Devin. Hallmark has Christmas in July. Is that acceptable?
No.
Okay. Wait. Are we really going to go there? Are you telling me that holiday spirit and love and happiness is not accepted in July?
Hey,
is that why I'm lonely?
When I eat pumpkin pie, I feel love and acceptance. You really want to go there?
Man, we need to keep moving with this podcast because I need to go get a pie and watch a Hallmark movie now.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for asking that question.
He did have another one, I thought.
Did he? Did I miss one?
I think you did. Looking. Oh, he asked what our thoughts were on any other rule changes that we'd like to see. This is in reference to, I believe it just came out, was it today?
About the timeouts at the end of games?
Yes.
Yeah. Now,
I believe it was the last 2 or 3 minutes, only 2 timeouts allowed per team. Just to kind of keep the pace of play moving along.
Two rules I want changed. I want hand check rule to go away. I'm tired of it. I hate it. It's the worst call in basketball. And then the second one is that stupid foul and let the guy chuck it up from 40 feet out. And if it goes in, you give him the shots. It's
the James Harden rule.
Yes, it's ridiculous. James Harden, Steph Curry, any of those guys that do that, those two rules right there are ridiculous. I hate the hand check rule more than any other basketball rule. That stops the game cold every time. I hate it.
Yeah, NBA made a lot of rule changes over the years to encourage more offense. You look back at the 90s and all of the games were 90-84. So they've wanted to open up the offense, but the offense doesn't feel any more open when the games are actually taking longer because you have all these free throws, because you have all these stupid tricks that guys do to get these calls, you know. The hand check rule, the chucking it whenever you've been bumped, all those things.
I mean, even the call, the offensive player can lean in on a shot and get the foul call and end one. I mean, there are certain things. I get that you want to encourage offense, but there are certain things that just disrupts the flow of the game or just gives advantage to an offensive player, a certain advantage that just doesn't need to exist.
Yeah, I don't like the traveling rule. I'd like to just get rid of that.
They're so inconsistent with that one already.
Right.
Holy crap. Just,
you know, if someone can take 10 steps in one game, we might as well let everybody. So let's just see where this goes for a while. No, I'd like to see some updating with the replay. I think about that final 2 minute report that the NBA officials or the NBA puts out. It's pretty awful when you see that report and like nothing happens with it. So I don't know, maybe like a challenge in the NBA that can be used in the last 2 minutes, you know, each team gets one challenge or whatever. Cause I hate when you have those close games that come down to a bad call. And as a Jazz fan, I'm sure a lot of people will agree. It seems like Utah is on the wrong end of that deal more often than not.
Yeah, I agree. I have one more I want to ask you both about. In football, as an example, a penalty is thrown, penalty flag is thrown. Referees talk about it. Sometimes they choose to wave it off, and sometimes they'll look at replay and they'll wave it off completely. You think that's an acceptable rule to add to basketball?
That would be one I would love to see.
Where you call a foul, right, and then you meet up at half court, you go look at the replay, you decide it isn't, and you wave it off.
Yes. That's one thing that has driven me crazy for as long as I've been watching the NBA is once a ref blows a whistle, a foul must stand. You just never see them wave it off. Like, never. I mean, maybe once every 5 years they wave it off. And it was especially worse with certain other referees in years past, like Dick Pivetta, where blow a whistle.
Yep.
And then they just like invent a foul. Oh, those drove me crazy. Yeah, yep. I would love to see that. If you go to the replay and you see you got it completely wrong, go ahead and overrule yourself.
Right. And I get it. I get it. You're concerned about flow of the game. But sometimes that is absolutely necessary because some of those phantom fouls just need to stop. Can we just stop? any other questions? John, you went through your mentions. Devin, you not seen any more?
I believe that it's all that I have seen.
John?
That's good for now. Let's go ahead and move on.
Okay. Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Oh, me?
Absolutely.
Man, what to talk about, guys? It's so underprepared. Let's talk about Lonzo Ball.
Oh boy.
What do you guys,
vision?
What do you think?
I didn't get a chance to watch much of him, truthfully.
Well, he was terrible. And then he had a triple double the next game. So it's just, he seems kind of hot and cold. Are you thinking he'll put it together once he gets around a team, or does it even matter?
I think he's going to be a really good playmaker. You know, there were questions about his offense. His shot mechanics aren't great, but he has been providing some really cool highlights in summer league. So even if his shooting isn't there right now, he's at least showing that he can do everything else. So yeah, he'll ultimately be a good player.
Okay. So judging by summer league, I'm going to take that question one step further, Devin, part of quick hits. Who was the best player in the draft in summer league?
Utah Jazz fans will say it was Donovan Mitchell.
I have a feeling we're going to give props to a team we don't want to here.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is probably the best rookie right now.
Boston's Jason Tatum. Yep.
However, when the two went head-to-head,
Donovan shut him down.
Yeah, locked him down completely. Yep. So,
John, you agree with that, Tatum?
Yep, I agree. Tatum's been the best overall, and yet fascinating that he could not score against Mitchell. And the other one who's been a real standout, I watched part of... have you guys watched any of the Dallas game?
No, I did not.
Dennis Smith Jr.
I didn't watch, but I've heard nothing but great things about him.
Yeah, he's looking like he's for real, too. I would say those are the three Tatum, Mitchell, and Dennis Smith.
All I can think about Dennis is Dennis Smith Sr. and his tough guy mentality, play way he played basketball. Is his son just that much better?
Looks like he's going to be.
Okay.
No, there's a lot of talent in the rookie pool this year.
There is.
You know, Fultz looked good in his opening game at Utah Jazz Summer League.
Exum shut him down, though.
He did not look great when he had to go against Exum, and then he didn't play the third game. I have not seen him in Vegas. I believe Miami had a big that was supposedly doing really
Bam.
Well.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Bam Adebayo has been good.
You look at that, you still have to remember someone is a rookie this year.
Right.
Ben Simmons is a rookie.
Yep.
And so I think your race this year may not just be one or two front runners. I honestly think you could have 5, 6, even 7 guys making their case halfway through the year.
And the all rookie team's going to be huge. I mean, John, you've been suggesting Donovan Mitchell could be on that, but all rookie team's going to be clustered at the end of the season with a lot of good players.
Oh, another guy I forgot about. He's kind of disappeared. But Jonathan Isaac from Orlando, he looks like he's going to be a solid player too.
Yeah, he does. And who's the other guy for Portland when the Jazz played him? I watched the other night.
Caleb Swanigan?
Yeah, Swanigan looks good.
Yeah, he does.
So lots of players there. Sorry, Devin, took your quick hits a little farther there.
Oh, that's good. That's what we're here for, guys. I want to bring this fight up because I feel like bringing this fight up.
Had a feeling this was coming up. Had a feeling.
John, I'm not sure if you saw, there was a heated press conference, a lot of trash talking. And then there was a very nice looking suit, almost looked like a pinstripe suit.
I've not seen this. I'm aware that it happened, but I haven't had a chance to actually watch this.
I do know who you're talking about, right? You're talking McGregor and...
Oh, yeah.
Who was he? McGregor and was it Mayweather?
Yes.
Mayweather.
Yeah.
Yes. What is more bold? Connor saying that he is going to knock out Mayweather or Connor wearing a pinstripe suit where the pinstripes say expletive you. Up and down them.
Which is more bold? That is a tough call. Saying he's going to knock him out. I mean, if this was UFC rules, I would say McGregor would win. But since it's boxing rules, Mayweather is the best in the business of just avoiding getting hit.
Okay, so we're going with the claim. Alan, I know you don't care.
No.
But what would you say is more bold?
I'd say the pinstripes. I mean, I did see clips of the press conference, and I'm sorry, I feel the same about wrestling that I do about some of these press conferences they have, and that is I feel like it's half fake. It's just built up for nothing. Because McGregor and Mayweather both had these grins on their faces like they were half-heartedly joking and sarcastic. And sometimes I just think they play it to the crowd.
You know how much money they're making?
I know. I'm just saying.
I believe pay-per-view is expected to be $100.
And yes, I just took an undercut shot to wrestling on this show too, knowing that John loves it. So, sorry.
Howdy.
Well, in that case, let's exit out of quick hits because I don't want John getting mad at me.
Okay, fine.
Over to some pop culture.
Yep, we got pop culture to talk about. John, I unfortunately will report that I did not watch this one, but I believe you did. Did you see Spider-Man
what?
Homecoming? I know.
I certainly did.
We had a busy weekend. It didn't happen. And then we were going to go see it last night, and my girls are at girls camp, and they told us before they left that we are not allowed to see it until they return. So, yeah, we're going Saturday.
I thought it was great. I'm really glad to see Spider-Man part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I thought he was a highlight in Captain America: Civil War. That all pans out here. I really like Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I really like that Spider-Man's a kid. And one thing I enjoyed about this, the action was almost secondary. It seemed like it was focusing on being a high school movie first and a superhero movie second, and I appreciated that. I really liked the balance it struck with that. I also really liked the blue collar villains, the Vulture and Shocker and Tinkerer all kind of work together, and you kind of understand where they're all coming from. And you know, it was really effective, and especially Michael Keaton as Vulture. I think he's one of the better Marvel villains that we've had. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it.
Best Spider-Man to date?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. I mean, I still like the first two Spider-Men with Tobey Maguire.
So did I.
But this is up there with those.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know. I'll have to see how it weighs on, you know, as months go by. But yeah, I'd say my favorite three are the first two with Tobey and then this one.
And see, I would agree about the first two with Tobey. And see, here's part of my reasoning. My favorite Marvel villain of all time, because I grew up just loving him, is Doc Ock. And I felt like mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire with Doc Ock spoke to me for that reason. Doc's one of my favorite villains. I mean, he's fantastic. And so having them reboot it like this, I realized we've seen some of the past already, but I would love it if they could find a character to play Doc Ock and bring him back again. You know, and bring him back for this generation Spider-Man. But I'm looking forward to this. I don't mind it. Spider-Man's a character I've always enjoyed watching. So, but I'm with you. I mean, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 were tops on my list. So I'm looking forward to this one. My son, my 11-year-old, been begging to go see this one. We're going to go as a family. I'm looking forward to it. So, go ahead.
If I had a complaint, I would say it had too much Iron Man.
Really?
Because it felt almost like the Spider-Man and Iron Man movie.
Okay.
And it didn't really need that. You could have just had like extended cameo with Iron Man, but he keeps showing up over and over. And you know, he's fine, but we've seen Iron Man in like 10 movies now. We don't really need that much from him. I think they learned that from this. I think next time around, it'll just stick with Spider-Man, and he can go mingle with everybody in Avengers movies. But when it's his movie, it's his movie.
And that's what I was going to ask you, because I felt that's the one complaint I had against Civil War. I enjoyed Civil War, but I felt that one was just as much an Iron Man movie as it was Captain America.
Well, yeah, they called it Captain America: Civil War, but that's really an Avengers movie. And I actually just read the comic book this week that Civil War is based off of. And you know, Civil War, the original story has a lot more characters. You know, you have the Fantastic Four in there.
Right.
And the Punisher, and just all kinds of Marvel people in there. And you know, now that I've read it, I kind of look back at Civil War and I see what they were going for. But yeah, they called it Captain America: Civil War, but it was really the Avengers, except we're going to put Captain America above Iron Man in the credits.
Right. Right. Interesting that you bring up Punisher, because I enjoy that character. And that's one of the characters I've enjoyed about Daredevil season 2. So we're seeing him pop in cameos and roles and other things like Netflix, but I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, hop back in the big screen somewhere with these Avenger films.
Yeah, I would too.
So, all right. Devin, you've seen anything lately? Caught up on anything lately?
Not really. Netflix. I'm not sure. Did I talk about this last show? I've been watching Flaked.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
So that's been my thing lately. Got through season 1, got season 2. I've been enjoying it. I think it's good.
What is Flaked?
It's a Will Arnett set a Netflix series.
Okay.
He is a AA counselor. He killed a man.
Oh.
It's a comedy.
Oh.
Sort of.
Okay.
Yes, it's a comedy. I found myself laughing. It's good. It's maybe not everyone's cup of tea, but I like it. Kind of quirky like.
Okay.
So only one season in. Seasons are only 8 episodes long. Episodes are about 30 minutes, so can cruise through that pretty quickly if you watch an episode or two and take a liking.
One more time, the name of it for listeners?
Flaked.
Flaked.
I think that's what it is.
All right.
Does that sound right,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, I've seen it on Netflix. I haven't watched it.
I would suggest to everybody get as much of your binge watching stuff out of the way, because I have a feeling that Stranger Things season 2's on the horizon, isn't it?
October.
Oh, we gotta wait till October?
Yeah.
Blast it.
Yeah, but you know what Halloween happens season. When it comes out.
But it came, I know, but it came out July last year. Why do we gotta wait an extra 4 months?
But you don't get your binge watching out of the way, because the second that hits Netflix, you're just done for the day.
Yeah, you shut everything else down and watch that only.
I'm scheduling the day off of work. That's all I'm gonna do.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So all right. That's been a good show. Let's cap it off right here. We want to thank everybody for listening to us this week. New listeners, new followers, thank you for joining us, following along with us. We hope you continue to ride along with us and enjoy our show. We really do enjoy having you all along for discussion and ride each and every week. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Join the discussion. Tweet at us, message us. We, we'll, as you hear, we'll gladly bring up topics on the show that we've talked to you about. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any podcast platform, Jedi and Germs, TuneIn Radio. There's a lot of places we can find us. So
you can find us on Trey Burke's Timeline.
Yeah, Trey Burke's Timeline. Once again, shout out to Trey Burke. We love you and thank you for the attention this week. Thank you all for joining us. Have a good week. John, take us out.
Hi, everybody.